Good morning, church. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to IBC. My name is Olivier, and I'm a member of this church. We are happy to greet you here if you're here for the first time, and it's a honor for me again to share the word of God this morning. Before starting, let us pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you. I know I can do nothing without you. And I also know that these people that are here are not here to listen to me. I can't teach them anything. I just want to be an instrument in your hands, Lord. Speak to your people, encourage them, correct them if you want, and give them strength to enter into the new week. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. This morning, we are continuing our series from the book of Ephesians. And today's sermon is going to be based on the text from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. So our passage is going to be based on Ephesians 6 from verse 1 to 9. Ephesians 6, 1 to 9. So the title of the sermon is Spirit-Filled Relationships. I'm going to read the passage first, and then I'm going on to comment on it verse by verse. Ephesians 6, 1 to 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, and whether they are slaves or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So we are going to talk about spirit-filled relationships. Relationships in families, relationships in our place of work, especially this morning. The Bible teaches us that God created man in his image. Out of all the world God has created, man and woman are those who were created in the image of God. And it is the maker of something who best knows how it works and or how it should work. If I'm the maker of this mic or of that one, I know how it should work. I know what it can do. I know what it cannot do. As children of God living in the world, we have relationships with the world and with other people. Our first contact with other people or with human beings is most often in our family. And it is almost impossible for a normal human being to live alone. There is a thirst, there is a hunger, and there is a need of relationship for human beings that God has put in us. And this is because God himself is a relational being. We are relational beings just as God wants to be in a relationship with his creation. Genesis 2 verse 18 says, "The Lord said that it is not good for the man to be alone." I know that this passage applies to the context of marriage, But it can also be extended to the mankind as such, that we need relationship, that we need the contact with other people, that God created us being able to have social contact with other people. I remember that discussion we had during the church weekend in September. The question was asked from by Ruth, I think, or Anska. Somebody said that, why is it that some other people don't communicate with God if we all are created in his image? Why is it that there are some people who serve God and others don't if we are all created in God's image? So, are murderers created in the image of God? And sometimes when we hear murderer, we feel so far from those people that we think that we are not concerned. But let me say it another way. Will you also say that somebody who sins has not been created in the image of God? So I ask this question because it can also apply to the verse, it is not good for man to be alone. And somebody may ask, why is it that some people like to be alone? Here is the link between the passage and the example I give. God gave us the hunger, the thirst, and the ability to relate to others. He gave us the ability to be social beings, but not everybody uses that ability to relate to others. Not everybody is able to have fellowship with other people, or nobody wants to do so. The Bible clearly says it is not good for man to be alone. God says it is not good for man to be like that. And this is the opposite exactly of what God said after creation. Every time or at the end of every day of creation, God said, or the Bible says, and God saw that it was good. But in the second chapter of Genesis, God says it is not good for a man to be alone. There are things that God sees that are good, and there are other things that God sees that they are not good. And one of them is that man should not be lonely. We should not isolate ourselves. Today's sermon is more about relationships with humans like us, not about our relationship with God. So I will continue to talk about instructions for Christian household as entitled in the NIV version. So this is about relationship between children and parents, parents and children, servants and masters, masters and servants. But still, it is our relationship with God which determine or should determine how we relate to other people. How are we to relate to others? What should dictate our relationship with other people? Is it how they look like? Is it our feeling? Is it our culture or is it our taste? But God has given his children, he has given his people instructions on how to relate with each other. Because he is the one that made you, he is the one that made your neighbor, and he's the one that knows how things should work. The Bible encourages us to be imitators of God. So the first thing in our life as Christians, everything we should do, is that we should imitate God in what he's doing. Ephesians 5 verse 1, be imitators of God. So we should imitate God in how we have to deal with people. In our relationship with our wife, our children, or with our bosses, or with our colleagues, God should be the example that we have to follow in everything we are doing. We should imitate God not only because we were created in his image, but also because of our identity. We are his children. So it should not be only our culture, or it should not be only our own understanding. It should not be only psychology that should lead or dictate the way we relate to other people. So what does it mean? What does a spirit-filled relationship mean? Or what does the Bible say about spirit-filled relationships? Christians are supposed to have spirit-driven relationships. These are relationships that are led by the Spirit of God, dealing with each other not only according to our feelings, but according to the word of God. Romans 8 verse 18 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We could have put this verse also that way. Children of God should be led by his Spirit, or we will recognize God's children by the way that they will lead their relationships. Children of God are not supposed to copy examples of relationships from the world, but the world is supposed to see that light that God put in us, which should bring light into the darkness, just as the song was saying. So we should not be led in all what we do by our own feeling or by our own wisdom, but by the Spirit of God, by God himself, by his word. So the main concern of children of God in their relationships or with our boss, our children, is that that should happen just as God wants it to be. Your relationship should be worked as God wants it to be. What or how does God want it to be? I'm going to the main passage now on which the sermon is based. And I would like to beg your attention because there can be a misunderstanding. For example, when the Bible talks about children, obey your parents, somebody may say, my parents are not living anymore, it doesn't concern me. Or when I will talk about parents, don't irritate your children, and somebody will say, I'm not yet married, I will need a letter. God can speak to you through any passage of his word. And today's sermon is not only for parents, it's not only for children. By the way, you know that if you don't have children, you are a child of God. And you also have a father to whom you relate. So you normally don't use something without knowing how it works. And these are the instructions that God has given his children concerning relationships. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So the first verse says that children should obey their parents. And there is a difference between obeying your parents and obeying them in the Lord. But the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord. And this passage says, the why and the how we should obey our parents. Obeying your parents only not in the Lord means you obey them for their own sake, or you obey them for your own sake, or you obey them for your own interest. But obeying them in the Lord means you obey them even when it doesn't please you, because you are not obeying your parents, you are obeying God. Because the commandment to obey your parents is not or has not been invented by your parents. It is God's commandment. So, obeying your parents in the Lord means you need to obey them as God wants it to be. But how? How do you do that? You do it unconditionally. There is no condition in this verse and in all the other verses that we are going to read about God's instructions concerning marriage or concerning families. In the last sermon that Tony preached, he talked about loving the spouse and obeying. And in none of them, God said that obey your husband if he is nice to you, or God never said that you have to love your wife if she's respecting you. Our obedience to God does not depend to those we are dealing with in our relationships. Jesus said, love those who hate you. You will give them love and they give you hatred. Our obedience to God is a contract between God and us. So if you come to church or serve God or love God only when God blesses you or when it pleases you, you still need to grow. So the authority of our parents that God has put in our life is to teach us how to deal with authority. Authorities are not only governors or presidents of our countries. We have authorities in all the areas of our life. Our parents are authorities in our lives. Or our husbands in some cases, or our elder brothers in some other cultures. But we are talking about the Bible, the authorities that have been appointed by God. So the verse 2 says, honor your parents, honor your father and your mother. The idea behind obeying and honoring your parents is that you are serving the Lord through them. Because sometimes when they will not deserve it, you will still continue to do what God commanded you to do. So you are honoring, you are glorifying the name of God when you are obeying your parents as children. God wants us to see only beyond human beings. He wants us to understand that He is the focus, not our parents. Our children, our wife, or all the commandments that God has given us concerning our relationships are all pointing to Him. He is the one that stands behind everything. In obeying your parents, you will make them proud, but you will also make God proud of you. Just remember God telling the devil, "Have you seen my servant Job?" Because God saw that Job's acts, what he is doing, is not dictated by what the people were doing. Or Lot living in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was the only person that was doing right. His deeds were not led by the other people, but he was obeying God, even in the midst of sufferings. Matthew 15, from verse 4 to 6. "For God said, honor your father and your mother. And anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." And Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, who were only focused on their parents or who were only focusing on their culture, that everything a child does to his parents is not for their parents, but he is doing that for God. In other words, when your parents will not anymore deserve what you should give them, you will still continue to give them, not because of them, but because of God. Because your acts, everything you are doing, is devoted to God. Whatever you do to your parents, you don't do it for them. You do it for God. So during the reflections on this passage, don't only think on your relationship or your level of obedience to your earthly father, but also keep in mind that you have a heavenly father to whom you need to obey. Now the instructions concerning parents, Ephesians 6, verse 4. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So the commandment to parents, to me, to you, or to those who will be parents in the future, is that we should not irritate our children. What does it mean to irritate our children? It means to push them to anger. Sometimes we have good intentions in doing something, but if that is not done with wisdom, we will exactly have the results and the opposite of what we wanted to attain in what we were doing. Just one example from the movie Facing the Giants. A parent was irritating his child in such a way that he was expecting respect from him, but he was being so hard, he was not showing love to his child. And that pushed his child to rebellion. And it was the trainer that brought him back to respect. We have to teach our children the ways of the Lord, but we don't have to teach them in a way that when they are adults, that they will say, just as I used to hear, that when I was a child, I had to pray. And that's why now I don't want to pray anymore. We don't have only to oblige our children to do things that are good, but we have to teach them the importance of doing it, even when we are not with them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 says, or gives us the reasons why we should not exasperate our children. So they will be discouraged. Parents are supposed to encourage them. God encourages us. We are to encourage our children. We are not to discourage them by giving them only commandments or by putting only the importance of things on commandments or what they must do. But we also need to show them love and to show them how to do that. And verse 3 or the second part, the third part talks about slaves, obey your earthly masters. And before I go to the command, to commend that passage, I would like to clear something about the uses of the word slave and masters. Because if you discuss with non-believers, most of the time the discussion you will have is, why does the Bible not condemn slavery? And sometimes people will even tell you that the Bible encourages slavery in using those passages. But you know, I've studied language, I've studied linguistics, and I know that a language lives also. A language changes, and the meaning of words changes with time. There are some words that we had in the German language in the Middle Ages that don't exist anymore. Or there are words that change meaning with time. Or there are words that are used in a simple context. I don't want to enter into that discussion. What I want us to understand is, for us to understand that passage, we need to replace slave and master just by servant and master, or worker or boss. Because that is what Paul is talking about in the passage. The passage is talking about how Christian workers are to do or to deal with their bosses. How you as a Christian has to work. Are you working for your boss? Are you obeying him only in his eyes? Or are you obeying God? Or are you working for God? So it will be easier for us, or it will be easier for the understanding of the passage, to talk about servant and master. And the Bible says, we should obey our earthly masters. So how are we to obey them? We have to respect them with respect and fear. We have to serve them with sincerity of heart. We just don't just have to do things that are outwardly. They should come from our heart, just as our belief comes from our heart. We are not serving our bosses, or we are not respecting them because we want to have a favor from them. Sometimes you will even have some other people that are not respected and promoted. But you are serving the Lord everywhere or in all the areas of your life. So the passage says, your earthly masters. That means that we have a heavenly master. The power or the influence or the level of influence of our earthly masters is limited. For example, our earthly masters are limited to physical or intellectual work. Your bosses are not to teach you how you should obey God or to teach you not to obey him. When the commandments of your boss or when the orders of your boss are in conflict with spiritual things, they are in conflict with God. And that happens in our lives many times. And you know that there is a difference between the decision of the emperor and that of the governor. It can be difficult sometimes when we are working to ask ourselves, what should I do? God, you told me to obey my boss. So he told me not anymore to bring my Bible. Should I do that? And God, you said we should obey authorities, that they are from you. My boss told me that if I pronounce now Jesus, I will lose my job. Will I not anymore pronounce the word Jesus? I just remember this movie again, God is Not Dead. That teacher that was accused just because she answered a question by using the word Jesus. They were talking about Mahatma Gandhi or all these big wise men, as the world called them. And a student asked her about Jesus, and she said, yes, Jesus said you should love your enemies. And one student called his parent, and the teacher ended up going up to court just because she answered the question using the word Jesus. Does it then mean that we should stop talking about Jesus? Does it mean that we should hide the light that God has put in us in our place of work because we are afraid to lose our job? Or does it mean that we should stop preaching because people will mock us? There's one example from the Bible, somebody who was in that situation that I want to share with you. In the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar asked Daniel to serve a god who was made by human hands. And because this order was in conflict, not with Daniel's conviction, but it was in conflict with God's commandment. And that is the point that we need to make a difference when we are working or when we don't want to obey authorities. You don't obey an authority when his commandment or his order is in conflict with God, not with your conviction or not with your feelings. Daniel 3, verses 13 to 18. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods and worship the golden image that I have made up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you should immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" And now Daniel knew that he cannot obey this commandment, because there is a commandment that comes from the heavenly master. There is another commandment which says you should not serve other gods out of me. And basing his confidence in the word of God, not in his convictions, Daniel said, the Bible continues saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you on this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fierce furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up.'" Daniel refused to obey the king because, or to obey his master, or to obey his boss, because his order was in direct conflict with the order of our Heavenly Father. And that can be the same with orders from our Heavenly Fathers, that they will ask us not or to do some other things which are in conflict with the commandments of the Most High. And remember this: God is our master, and he is your master's master, and he is your boss's boss, and the commandments of God are over and beyond every other commandments that come from men. And now the Bible also just says shortly about how masters should treat their servants. And masters, treat your slaves or your servants in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that who he is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. And this is a subtle area when we can share the gospel without even mentioning the name of Jesus. You can even preach to people without using the Bible. You can preach to people only through your life, only through the way you deal with your colleagues. As a Christian master, you have to treat your people in such a way that they will ask you, "I have never seen that type of master." Not that you have to make them think that you are the best master, but you have to help them to see God through you. You have to help them to see Jesus through you. Parents have to help their children see Jesus through them. One thing that I find very interesting in all these passages is that it is not linked to any condition. The Bible never says that servants obey your bosses if they treat you well, or obey your parents if they love you, if they take care of you. God said, obey your parents. The contract you have is not with your parents or with your bosses. Of course, you have contracts with them. But the ultimate contract of your life, you have it with God. If, for example, your boss sends you as an electrician to go and repair a lamp in the house of somebody, whether the person is nice to you or not, you have to make sure that you repair the lamp and you go. You will not go and tell your boss that he was so nice to me, I have not done that. Our contract in all what we have read is with God. We are serving God in serving men. We are not serving men. We are dealing with them. We have relationships with them. But the person we are serving through our relationship, through our convictions, is God. I want to conclude with this. All the instructions concerning Christian households all point to one thing. And the summary of all these, we find it in Colossians chapter 3, verse 33 to 34. Whatever you do, work it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, and this is the verse that is very important, for it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. It is not your father. It is not your mom that you are serving. You are not serving your boss. You are serving your Lord God in what he told you to do. And the consequences of how your relationships should have been, you will not only have to be accountable of them before men, but you have to be accountable of them before God. This is an example. Matthew 25 from verse 34 to 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you do for one of this list of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Whatever you did with your parents, you did it for the Lord. And the Lord will ask you for an account for that. He will not ask your father. Your father will have to respond of what God asked him to do, or not what God asked other people to do to you. You will be accountable of what God has commanded you to do. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. If you come to church and you help him cleaning, it is the Lord God you are serving. If I am preaching to you, you might profit from it, but it is the Lord that I am serving. If you help in cleaning the church, one day you are cleaning the church, but it is the Lord that you are serving. If you help in washing the dishes after coffee time, it is the Lord that you are serving. If you help in singing, it is the Lord that you are serving. Until you come to the understanding that you are serving God in your relationships with your children, with your parents, with your spouse, with your boss or with your colleagues, every commandment from God can be a burden from you. If you do not devote what you do to God, you might be discouraged. It is better for you that all that what you do should be devoted to God. Why? Because if Christ is not the center of everything you do, you might be discouraged. What if you respect your parents, they don't love you? What if you teach the Bible to your children, they don't obey you? What if you respect your boss and he treats you in a wrong way? Or what if you love your spouse, she doesn't respect you? We should not keep our eyes on human relationships. God gave us all those things to point out to Christ. They are just an image of what is to come. Marriage is used many times in the Bible as an image of Jesus, the bridegroom, and we, the church, that are going to meet him. And the Bible also teaches us that God is a father and we are his children. God also says that he is our master and we are the workers. So, your obedience to God's commandments must not depend on your relationships. the love that you have to give your children, the teaching that you have to give them, or the respect that you have to give your boss does not depend on him. It depends on God and on you alone. Do you remember Moses going to meet Pharaoh? And God told him that go and speak to that man. And how many times has Moses been there and Pharaoh didn't listen to him? But Moses came back and talked to him again until Pharaoh told him, you this Hebrew man, I told you not to come anymore in my presence. And I can imagine Moses saying or thinking or smiling and saying, it is the Lord that I am serving. I'm not here for you. And this morning you are not here for me. You are here because you are serving the Lord. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to his disciples, this is the final verse that I'm mentioning. He told them that Gentiles are also able to love those who love them. And the verse says that if you only love those who love you, what is the difference between you and the Gentiles? The difference between us and the Gentiles is that our love or our relationships do not depend on the people we relate to. They depend on God because it is God that we are serving. We love those who hate us, or we are supposed to do that. It doesn't work all the time. We love those who do not love us because of God. We do everything because of God. And it will be the best thing for a Christian to know or to come to the understanding that he is living for Christ. He is not living for himself, going to club or enjoy life. But you are living for Christ. Everything you do with your marriage, with your children, with your parents, with your boss, with your colleagues, remember this verse, this final verse that is very important in spirit-driven relationships. Remember in your relationships, in everything you do, that it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have had in your presence. And thank you that you have talked to us. And thank you for helping me to bring your word to your people. And this is my prayer for myself and for all the people who are here and for all your children, Lord. And help us to work every day having your word in mind, that in everything we are doing, that it is the Lord Christ that we are serving. That it is you, our Heavenly Father, who is our master. That it is you who is our spouse. That it is you who is our Heavenly Master, who is our boss. And help us to do everything because of you, not because of men. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.